Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
MMH designated a recognized leader in caring for people living with diabetes. In a remarkable demonstration of commitment to excellence, Midland Memorial Hospital, MMH, has been named a recognized leader in caring for people living with diabetes. According to a news release, this first-of-its-kind designation bestowed by the Leapfrog Group in collaboration with the American Diabetes Association, ADA, recognizes hospitals that meet the most rigorous standards for delivering safe, high-quality care for patients with diabetes. Among this elite group, MMH stands out as one of just 17 hospitals across the U.S. to achieve this distinction in 2024. Receiving this award marks a significant milestone in our journey to continue leading healthcare for Greater Midland. It reaffirms our mission to innovate, serve, and excel in providing the highest quality care to our community. Stephen Bowerman, President and Chief Executive Officer at Midland Health, said in the release, "As we celebrate this achievement, we also embrace it as a stepping stone toward even greater accomplishments in the future." 2024 recognized leaders in caring for people living with diabetes were assessed based on a comprehensive range of key indicators that demonstrate the highest level of staff training on caring for patients who have diabetes, including evaluating policies and protocols that support patient-centered care, adherence to evidence-based guidelines in preparing patients for surgery, as well as managing all diabetic patients in the hospital, implementation of robust planning for high-risk diabetes patients from the day of admission to discharge, and facilitating a seamless transition from hospital to home. Dr. Robert Gabay, MD, Chief Scientific and Medical Officer at the American Diabetes Association, emphasize the importance of this recognition. There is an immense need to ensure hospitals provide safe, patient-centered care for all people who live with diabetes, he said in the release. Hospitals recognized through this program are leading the way. 8 million people living with diabetes are hospitalized each year in the United States, and a disturbing number of them experience safety breakdowns due to preventable medical errors, Leah Binder, President and CEO of the Leapfrog Group, said in the release. This program is a powerful tool to promote facilities that can appropriately accommodate and safely manage care for these at-risk patients. For more details about Midland Memorial Hospital's rigorous approach to diabetes care and meeting other important standards of care, visit Leapfrog's Hospital and Surgery Center ratings and follow the Leapfrog Group on Twitter, Facebook, via its newsletter. Obituaries, Larry Slaughter. Larry Dwight Slaughter, age 80, of Andrews, joined his Lord and Savior on March 14th while at his home in Andrews. He was born on March 1st, 1944, in San Saba to Ralph Burt Slaughter and Alpha Vicent Slaughter. Visitation was held Tuesday, March 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. at McNett Funeral Home, and a funeral service was held at 2 p.m. Wednesday, March 20th. Raul Tarango. Raul Tarango, 62, of Odessa, died Monday, March 18th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. March 22nd at St. Mary's Catholic Church. Burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Valerie Jimenez Lopez. Valerie Lopez Jimenez, 32, of Odessa, died Monday, March 4th in Odessa. Graveside service was held at 2 p.m. March 18th at Monahans Memorial Cemetery. Sandra Sue Sandy Hamilton Robb. No services have been scheduled for Sandra Sue Sandy Robb Hamilton, 79, of Odessa, who died Friday, March 15th in Odessa. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. John T. Butler. John Butler, 84, of Odessa, died Sunday, March 17th in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. March 26th at Prayer House Church of God in Christ, 404 Foster Avenue, Odessa. Visitation will take place at Frank Wilson Funeral Directors Monday, March 25th from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Burial will follow after the service, March 26th at Ector County Cemetery, 300 South Dixie Boulevard, Odessa. Dennis Shaver. Dennis Shaver, beloved husband of Carrie for 24 years, passed away on March 17th, surrounded by his family after a long and courageous battle with cancer. He was a loving and devoted father, husband, and grandfather. A memorial service will be held Friday, March 22nd at 10 a.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home. Ginger Pomeroy, Ginger Pomeroy Allure, passed away at peace surrounded by family in Odessa, Texas. Ginger service will be at graveside only on Tuesday, March 19th at 1 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. Midland County GOP conventions set for Saturday. The Midland County Republican Party County and Precinct Conventions will be on Saturday, March 23rd at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street, Midland. Registration starts at 9 a.m. Precinct conventions will begin at 9:30 a.m. and the county convention will take place at 10:15 a.m. Voters from Midland County who voted in the 2024 Republican Party primary are eligible to attend. The convention will consider local platform submissions for the state party platform and select delegates to the state convention.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. Midland Health Column. Midland Health celebrates Certified Nurses Day. Midland Health proudly recognized our many board-certified nurses on Certified Nurses Day, Tuesday. A ceremony was held for all certified nurses on Tuesday in the hospital lobby to mark the occasion and pin our newly certified nurses. Certified Nurses Day is an annual celebration held on March 19th that recognizes and honors the achievements and contributions of nationally board-certified nurses. The recognition day was established by the American Nurses Credentialing Center, ANCC, to acknowledge the hard work and dedication of nurses who have obtained certification in their respective specialties. Certified Nurses Day honors nurses worldwide who contribute to better patient outcomes through national board certification in their specialty. Professional board certification is a voluntary designation earned by nurses who demonstrate an advanced level of competency, skill, and knowledge in their specialty field. Certification demonstrates a nurse's commitment to their profession and their ongoing professional development, signifying that they have met the knowledge and practice standards required by a governing body. As of today, there are almost 200 specialty certification options for nurses across a range of specialties. Having certified nurses within organizations has been shown to improve the quality of patient care in lower infection rates, surgical complications, pressure ulcers, falls, and mortality. Certification demonstrates value to healthcare stakeholders by decreasing nursing turnover and vacancy rates, increasing job satisfaction, and increasing patient satisfaction scores. Nurses report a feeling of personal accomplishment and personal satisfaction with achieving their certification, rating higher in self-confidence, competence, and empowerment. Having obtained several certifications over my career, I can attest that board certification is not an easy task. It takes time to study and schedule the tests, with many certifications requiring years of professional practice before becoming eligible. There are costs associated with exam fees, travel, certification preparation, and professional membership, in addition to maintaining your license. Lastly, there is the anxiety and fear of failure that comes with taking a board exam. These exams are designed to be challenging and exceed the fundamental exam used to obtain a registered nursing license. Midland Health is dedicated to fostering certification and professional development. Our goal continues to be to remove the barriers to certification and advanced education. Midland Health sponsors review classes and continues to invest in the Nurse Builders program, offering online exam preparation courses for 33 different exams. Midland Health also provides financial incentives to certified nurses through our professional development ladder and reimbursement upon taking the exam, not just for successful completion. Along with covering the cost of the exam, we help reduce the fear of failure by offering some exams free of charge to employees with retake opportunities, such as the Medical Surgical Nursing Certification Board Fail-Safe Certification Program. As the Chief Nursing Officer, I am proud to work alongside such a talented and committed group of certified nurses. Their dedication to lifelong learning, professional development, and evidence-based practice sets the standard for excellence in nursing. Their expertise and leadership are critical to our ability to provide safe, effective, and compassionate care to our patients and their families. New report: time-restricted eating linked to higher cardiovascular risk. The American Heart Association recently released a report that counters the health benefits of intermittent fasting diets. The study followed 20,000 adults who followed an 8-hour time-restricted eating schedule, a type of intermittent fasting, the report said. Findings in the study showed the group had a 91% higher risk of death from cardiovascular disease compared with a standard schedule of eating across 12 to 16 hours per day. Time-restricted eating is a type of intermittent fasting that includes limiting eating to a specific number of hours each day. For example, many people may eat from a 4-12-hour time window in 24 hours. The report explains. Others may follow a time-restricted 16-8 eating schedule, where they eat all their foods in an 8-hour window and fast for the remaining 16 hours each day. Previous research has found that time-restricted eating improves several cardiometabolic health measures, such as blood pressure, blood glucose, and cholesterol levels. However, the latest study from the American Heart Association claims that time-restricted eating did not reduce the overall risk of death from any cause. Quote, overall, this study suggests that time-restricted eating may have short-term benefits but long-term adverse effects. When the study is presented in its entirety, it will be interesting and helpful to learn more of the details of the analysis, end quote, said Christopher D. Gardner, professor of medicine at Stanford University and chair of the writing committee for the association's 2023 scientific statement, Popular Dietary Patterns, Alignment with American Heart Association 2021 Dietary Guidance. People who followed a pattern of eating all of their food across less than 8 hours per day had a 91% higher risk of death due to cardiovascular disease, a portion of the report read. The increased risk of cardiovascular death was also seen in people living with heart disease or cancer and among people with existing cardiovascular disease. Eating duration of no less than 8 but less than 10 hours per day was also associated with a 66% higher risk of death from heart disease or stroke. In addition, an eating duration of more than 16 hours per day was associated with a lower risk of cancer mortality among people with cancer. Quote, we were surprised to find that people who followed an 8-hour time-restricted eating schedule were more likely to die from cardiovascular disease, end quote, said senior study author Victor Wenz Zong in the report. Quote, even though this type of diet has been popular due to its potential short-term benefits, our research clearly shows that, compared with a typical eating time range of 12 to 16 hours per day, a shorter eating duration was not associated with living longer, end quote. Myeloma Awareness Month. Advances in Multiple Myeloma Treatment. March is Myeloma Awareness Month. Multiple myeloma is a blood cancer that most often occurs in people over age 45. It's the second most common blood cancer and the most common blood cancer in black people. Right now, there is no cure for the disease, but as Dr. Joselle Cook, a Mayo Clinic hematologist, explains, recent advances in treatment are helping people live longer. And as multiple myeloma research continues, a cure may someday be on the horizon. Multiple myeloma is a cancer that forms in a type of white blood cell called a plasma cell that builds up in bone marrow. Quote, some of these plasma cells develop mutations over time and become abnormal and produce an abnormal protein. We call it an immunoglobulin, or in our world, we call it a monoclonal protein. And so that can cause damage over time, end quote, says Dr. Cook. The damage caused by multiple myeloma can lead to anemia, bone pain, frequent infections, and kidney failure. Quote, the treatment involves, we call it plasma cell-directed therapy, end quote, says Dr. Cook. Quote, it's treatments that are specifically directed at the immune system, so it's usually a combination of three or four drugs, end quote. Other advances in treatment include bone marrow transplant, in which a person's own stem cells are infused after high-dose chemotherapy to rebuild and regenerate healthy bone marrow. Quote, we've seen new therapies like CAR-T or chimeric antigen receptor T cell therapy, where we're taking people's T cells, we're engineering them to specifically recognize a myeloma cell, end quote, says Dr. Cook. Because of advances like these, the prognosis for patients with multiple myeloma continues to improve. Quote, several years ago, people would say that the survival was 3 to 5 years. And I would say now, median or average survival is about 10 years or even longer, end quote, says Dr. Cook. Quote, hopefully we can extend the expected survival beyond 20 years and maybe eventually find a cure in my lifetime, I hope, end quote. Explainer. What is hepatitis C and how is it treated? It's estimated that 2 to 3 million people in the U.S. are living with the hepatitis C virus, and hundreds of thousands of them are undiagnosed. That's primarily because it tends to be asymptomatic in the initial stages until liver damage sets in decades later. A recent study, co-authored by Dr. Karthik Gananapandathan, a hospitalist at Mayo Clinic, found that nearly 40% of people with hepatitis C living in the U.S. are not even aware they have the infection. That's roughly 800,000 people. So, what is hepatitis C and how is it treated? Hepatitis C is a viral infection that causes liver inflammation. Quote, if untreated, it causes permanent damage, fibrosis, and liver failure. The liver loses its function, and ultimately, toxins accumulate in the body, and the other organs also get affected, end quote, says Gananapandathan. Quote, and if not treated properly, in time it can cause liver damage, requiring liver transplant or any further complications, end quote. Hepatitis C is spread by contact with blood that has the virus in it. The two most common ways it's transmitted are the sharing of contaminated needles by IV drug users and sexual transmission. Quote, this is an infection that is completely curable, and if not treated, it leads to life-threatening consequences, end quote, says Gananapandathan. Quote, it's usually a combination of two medications. It's given over an 8 to 12-week period, and they're extremely effective, and the cure rate is more than 95%. End quote. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that every person over age 18 should be screened for hepatitis C at least once in their lifetime. Anyone who is pregnant should be tested during each pregnancy, and those in high-risk groups should have regular periodic testing. How to stay healthy when weather is unpredictable. The weather can be unpredictable, especially in late winter. One day it might be sunny and warm, the next day it might be freezing and snowy. How does this changing weather affect your health and well-being? And what can you do to protect yourself from getting sick? Dr. Tejal Shalat, a Mayo Clinic family medicine resident, says fluctuations in temperature can cause the body temperature to vary as well. Changes in body temperature and exposure to seasonal viruses make you more susceptible to catching illnesses, such as the common cold and flu. Symptoms of respiratory infections. Shalat says that these viruses can cause upper respiratory infections, which are characterized by several symptoms. Runny nose, post-nasal drip, fevers greater than 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit, shortness of breath, persistent productive cough. Chest pain when taking in a deep breath may indicate a more serious infection, such as pneumonia. To prevent or treat these infections, Shalat recommends boosting your immune system with some simple strategies. The first is to consume enough vitamin C, which is a powerful antioxidant that can help fight off infections. Strategies to stay healthy in changing weather. Consume enough vitamin C from fruits or supplements to boost your immune system. Exercise regularly, at least 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, to improve your blood circulation and cellular function. Seek medical attention if you have a fever above 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit or any severe or persistent symptoms. Quote, fruits that are rich in vitamin C, like lemons and oranges, just having one a day or squeezing a few slices of lemon into your water bottle. That might go a long way in protecting your immune system, end quote, Shalat says. She adds that some people may prefer to take vitamin C and zinc tablets, but a healthy diet that includes fruits and vegetables is more than adequate. Another strategy is to exercise regularly, which can improve your blood circulation, oxygen delivery, and cellular function. Shalat says that exercise does not have to be strenuous or time-consuming. Quote, it could be just a 30-minute walk most days of the week. That gets you to 150 minutes, about 2.5 hours a week. And that is a good amount of exercise, end quote, she says. She also encourages those who enjoy more intense workouts to continue doing them if they are safe and comfortable. Explainer. What is hepatitis C and how is it treated? It's estimated that 2 to 3 million people in the U.S. are living with the hepatitis C virus, and hundreds of thousands of them are undiagnosed. That's primarily because it tends to be asymptomatic in the initial stages until liver damage sets in decades later. A recent study, co-authored by Dr. Karthik Gananapandithan, a hospitalist at Mayo Clinic, found that nearly 40% of people with hepatitis C living in the U.S. are not even aware they have the infection. That's roughly 800,000 people. So, what is hepatitis C, and how is it treated? Hepatitis C is a viral infection that causes liver inflammation. Quote, if untreated, it causes permanent damage, fibrosis, and liver failure. The liver loses its function, and ultimately, toxins accumulate in the body, and the other organs also get affected, end quote, says Gananapandithan. Quote, and if not treated properly, in time it can cause liver damage, requiring liver transplant or any further complications, end quote. Hepatitis C is spread by contact with blood that has the virus in it. The two most common ways it's transmitted are the sharing of contaminated needles by IV drug users and sexual transmission. Quote, this is an infection that is completely curable, and if not treated, it leads to life-threatening consequences, end quote, says Gananapandithan. Quote, it's usually a combination of two medications. It's given over an 8 to 12 week period, and they're extremely effective, and the cure rate is more than 95%, end quote. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that every person over age 18 should be screened for hepatitis C at least once in their lifetime. Anyone who is pregnant should be tested during each pregnancy, and those in high-risk groups should have regular periodic testing.
This is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reported Telegram on Thursday, March 21st. Once supportive wife becomes abusive drinker. Dear Abby, I have been married for 28 years. Last year, I was diagnosed with cancer. It was discovered because of a seizure I had at work. They put me in an ambulance, took me to the hospital, and did a CT scan, which revealed my stage 4 cancer. Prior to this, my wife did not work while I had a well-paying job. This instantly reversed for obvious reasons. My wife was extremely attentive. She started taking me to all my appointments and spent a lot of time with me in the hospital on her days off. This was about a 6-month ordeal, and long story short, when I saw my doctors last week, they announced that after 35 radiation treatments and 7 chemo treatments, they can no longer find any visual evidence of the cancer. I was so thrilled, I cried. Since then, my wife has been drinking heavily and getting angry with me just about every night. I don't know what's going on with her or what to do. She's the best woman I've ever met, and I don't want to lose her, but she's starting to become violent. Could you give me some advice? Signed, Recovering but Confused. Dear Recovering, your wife may be reacting to the trauma she suffered when you became ill, which meant she had to become the primary caregiver. This, however, does not excuse her excessive drinking and violent episodes. Of one thing I am certain, you must not allow the status quo to continue, regardless of how much you love her. She should be evaluated by her doctor to see if something is medically wrong with her, and the two of you need to get into counseling right away, and because she can't handle her drinking, she may need to start rehab or join a self-help group. Dear Abby, my 22-year-old stepdaughter has been receiving very large Venmo payments into her bank account. I know this because my husband, her father, is also on the account, and I have access to it. We have asked her several times where the money is coming from. The first time she lied and said it was from dog walking. She has a history of lying. She has recently started claiming that her old boyfriend from 4 years ago, whom she broke up with because she found tons of photos of half-naked women on his phone, was sending her money. Abby, this isn't $20 or even $100. It's thousands of dollars every month. Her ex was a delivery driver. No way can he make that much after-tax money. Where do you think she's getting the money? I say sex, but my husband refuses to believe it. What should I do? Signed, Suspicious in Texas. Dear Suspicious, I too suspect that your stepdaughter may be involved in something sex-related. She could be an escort, have found herself a sugar daddy, or be participating in a sex webcam show. She could also be involved in selling illegal drugs. Because your husband refuses to believe his daughter would do anything illicit, for the sake of your marriage, take a step back. Wait to see what transpires. His daughter is an adult and is responsible for making her own decisions. Because she has trouble telling the truth, there is nothing you can do to help. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or Post Office Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.